2-2. Well hit down the left field line. Way back and go!
Welcome back to Walk It Off. I'm Dani Wexelman with Gemma Kaneko and Ashley Chavez. We are in the middle of September. It is a Monday morning, and we have a lot to talk about. But let's talk about some of our favorite things from the weekend. Anything stand out to you, Gemma?
Matt Boyd almost threw a no-hitter. It's very, very close. Very tragic. So close and yet so far. That was exciting because there's not a lot else to be excited about in Detroit this for the rest of the season.
True. So.
Yeah.
Were you mad at Nicholas Castellanos?
I'm always mad at him, so it doesn't really change my general feeling.
Okay.
Yeah.
Apparently it was a 1% catch probability.
I know. He really had no chance anyway, but the fact that it's also someone who's just generally bad, like, at defense.
Right.
You know, it just kind of salt in the wound. Like, why did you put him out? Whatever.
His name's on a stake in Michigan. He's not getting any free beer for a while. That's for sure.
No.
Ash, what stood out to you?
Well, the Niners kind of have an offense, and Carlos Hyde ran for like 200-plus yards, I believe. It was incredible against the Seattle defense. Seattle was doing all right. But yeah, we looked like a normal team again, and it was just so exciting. We lost, but we lost like 3 points. I mean, that's amazing. So
I've never heard you be so positive about a loss ever.
Yeah, that was incredible.
In the 3.5 years I think I've known you, I've never heard that.
Not storming the field.
This is how... Yeah, exactly.
California's made you soft.
I didn't want to storm. No, it's Jed York. Jed York has beaten us down so badly that a loss by 3 points is a victory. So here I am.
Okay. That's impressive.
Everything is said.
Well, I watched the Cardinals get swept, so that wasn't a fun favorite moment from the weekend. But I loved watching the Astros celebrate, the Indians celebrate their clinches. I love the Kevin Kiermaier catch. Missed that guy. He was gone for way too long.
He was gone for a long time.
Gone for a long time.
That's right.
So they're going to have to come up with a new name for the glove for him because gold is not good enough. Packers and Cowboys suffered pretty good losses over the weekend. Broncos looked amazing. Vikings struggled without Sam Bradford, which kind of makes me sad because they did really well last week. And then they couldn't pull it together. Poor Case Keenum. Hockey is coming up. A few weeks away, can you believe that we are going to add hockey into the mix?
Great.
Of an already packed summer and fall. So that's exciting. The Astros, the Indians, and the Nationals have all clinched.
And the Dodgers did too, right?
Not the division, but they will at least be in the postseason.
Yes,
they will, unless something – well, they will. They will, but it's to be determined exactly where and what.
Yeah.
The Cubs are 6 games ahead right now in the NL Central, so I think it's kind of safe to say that they're probably going to take that. So that's all I have for that. Anything else? Anything else? Any takers? No?
Pretty exciting. I was sad about the Cardinals getting swept too, actually, because now I'm just totally rooting for chaos, and that really kind of lessened the chaos probability.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
The wind is gone. They took the wind out of every single person's sails. Watching the Friday game where Carlos Martinez was starting, watch them lose that lead just felt very deflating. Mm-hmm. I feel like I sound sad right now. I am sad. So, yeah, we'll move on from that. Anyway. Trender Trash, we're going to talk NL MVP race. We have exhausted the AL MVP conversation, and I think we're kind of pretty much all in the same bubble with that. But the NL MVP race is all over the place. There's so many great options. We have a ton of guys who are going above and beyond right now. So I'm going to go through a few of them, and then you guys are going to make your case, as am I, for who we think should be the NL MVP.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have Giancarlo Cruz Stanton, Paul Goldschmidt, Anthony Rendon, Nolan Arenado, Cody Bellinger, Joey Votto, Chris Bryant, and Max Scherzer. Did I miss anybody? That felt like a strong list.
That felt good.
Felt good?
That felt good. Yeah.
Okay.
The only one I feel even kind of weird about being on that list is Chris Bryant, which is weird.
Right. Right. Yeah. He is actually, and I think the thing is because the Cubs have kind of been in the backseat the entire season, and they're finally like, Joe Maddon's one day at a time mantra is really paying off right now, and that's what they're doing. But Chris Bryant is still having a really great season. Just nobody knows about it.
Which is so strange.
They're in the Midwest.
To think
and,
about.
Yeah, they haven't been in the conversation the entire season, I feel like. So they're here to defend their championship, and Chris Bryant is Chris Bryant's like, pay attention to me. So, Ashley, we're going to start with you. Make your case.
Okay.
Who'd you choose and why are they going to be the MVP?
I chose Joey Votto just because I wanted to have fun with this and pick the true, true underdog in the situation. But while he is an underdog, I think the most valuable thing you could do as a hitter is be on base, no matter what, whether it's walks, whether it's hits, whether it's doubles, whatever. Home runs, I've never been the biggest home run fan, probably because I'm a Giants fan and I don't get those too often. But I do think the most important thing you can possibly do for your team is be on base, no matter what team you're on. I know that they're not contenders and they probably won't be contenders for a long time. But I don't, just to argue against the whole contender situation, if you put Joey Votto on any team, he would still be able to contribute, still be on base, and probably win MVP over and over again. So I think it's really not fair. His numbers don't lie. If you go on Baseball Ref, he's just peppered in with batting leaders. I mean, I just feel bad that if he's not a contender, he's never going to get this. And that sucks so bad because he's doing this year in and year out. So
yes,
it'll be nice to see him up
there. His numbers are so consistent.
Yeah.
And he also bought a donkey for Zach Cozart.
Which is,
so that has to
beyond,
be added,
beyond
Ashley.
Beyond numbers.
Beyond
yeah,
most
exactly.
valuable
beyond
player.
Numbers.
Yeah.
Most valuable person.
Exactly.
Yes.
Isn't that part
yes.
of the voting?
Yes.
You're a good person, too. You do good things, right?
I mean,
that's a part
it will
of it.
Be once the baseball writers are the younger generation, I think it will be a huge part of it.
I think so, too. And to your point, they get paid to get on base. Joey Votto gets paid to get on base, and that's exactly what he is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's underappreciated.
And he's a master.
He's almost like Paul Goldschmidt
mm-hmm.
because
yeah.
he has been on a team that is irrelevant
yeah.
for the most part.
Yes.
And he's in the limelight. He's not in the spotlight, and it is sad. But that's a great pick, Ash. I think he's going to get votes. I don't think he's going to get it, but I think he'll get votes.
Same.
He should
Same.
Get votes.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's going to get votes.
Yes. I agree with your
yes.
logic that you introduced last year in one of these conversations, which is like, would this player be the best player on almost any team that he got traded to? And I think in Joey Votto's case, that's pretty true. Like, if
yeah.
maybe not the Diamondbacks, because I'm going to talk about Paul Goldschmidt, but like,
yeah.
if he was to, we always talk about this like fantasy dream, like, what if you could loan players from non-contending teams just for the postseason? Like, just for the postseason, let's say that Joey Votto gets to be on the
that's
Yankees.
Great.
Like, how crazy would that be?
Crazy.
You know, they want someone at first base who's good, and that, and it would just be, he would be frightening. Everyone would be terrified of him. It would be great. And it would be a lot of fun. And I think one of the players that we constantly toss around in that discussion of fantasizing about who we would like to see play for a postseason team just for the month of October is Joey Votto and, like, also Giancarlo Stanton. But that's because of dingers.
Right.
So.
Because dingers.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think your point about Paul Goldschmidt was right, too, is that he's been really consistently good for a very, very long time. And people mm-hmm. generally don't pay attention to him because he's on a team that is generally flying under the radar. But this year, they are not flying
they
under the
are
radar.
Not.
This year, this team is a strong contending team.
Yeah.
Like, there is an out-of-control season, the situation where somehow they could still win the division, which is crazy and it's not going to happen, but...
Hey, crazier things.
Yes,
crazier
they will things. Definitely be in the postseason, and this team, the Diamondbacks, they're on a hot streak. So people really do have to pay attention to Paul Goldschmidt, finally. Like,
yeah.
finally they have to pay attention
they're
to
forced.
Him. They're forced to. He's consistent. His numbers are consistent. He is... really good at getting extra bases,
yeah.
which I think if we're going to talk about just being on base, like
yes.
he's the guy who is going to push it to a double, to a triple, well, maybe not triple, but like a double. And that's
a
the
double.
Thing that happens.
And
he
can
yeah.
do a double.
And he can do a double. And he like he steals bases. Like maybe he's not stealing bases like Billy Hamilton steals bases,
right.
but he's also stealing bases with the ability to get on the base in the first place, which is something with these speedy guys who basically come in as pinch runners
yeah.
do not have that ability. So I think
that's...
Thinking
about Paul Goldschmidt
yeah.
stealing a base, just to be honest, is not something I think about.
But he does.
Yeah.
Like,
no.
yeah.
And in the middle of the season, wasn't he like third?
Yes.
Like it was crazy. It was like Billy Hamilton, Keith Gordon, Paul Goldschmidt. It
right.
was insane.
Because you don't
yeah.
think about guys with
no.
the offensive abilities of Paul Goldschmidt also stealing
yeah.
bases, which I think is what makes him so valuable.
And his body is tall.
Yeah.
He's bigger.
Yeah.
Like that doesn't.
He's creating runs all the time.
To, right.
Yeah. And that's what's real. And he's doing it. He has the ability to do it on multiple levels as opposed to just being one of those guys, you know, who postseason. One of the fun things about like later trades is that there's always like they're looking for the guy who's really fast so they can bring him in the wild card game to steal bases.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Paul Goldschmidt is just that already. So that is why he is my MVP.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that. I have a question for you before I'll brag about Anthony Rendon. What would it take for a pitcher like Max Scherzer to win an NL MVP and not win the NL Cy Young?
That would be crazy.
What is that possible?
Oh, wow.
I just reached really far, but not possible.
No, because I think if you're a pitcher and you win MVP, you have to be the best pitcher and the best player.
So you would get Cy Young.
Yeah.
Okay. So he's not going to get – is he going to get either? Is he going to get both? He's not going to get both.
I don't think he's going to get both.
Is he going to get the Cy Young?
Yes.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, yeah. Right?
Yes.
Not Kershaw. Kershaw's out.
Yeah, Kershaw's out.
I couldn't think of anyone else who even immediately
popped
into my mind.
Alex Wood in the beginning of the season was, what was it, like 10-0? He fell off, but he was like 10-0 in the beginning of the season. Who else?
In the NL?
No consistency here. Yeah.
It's hard to think of someone who's as consistent as Max Scherzer, honestly.
Zach Greinke?
Yeah. I don't think that's crazy.
I could see it, but I still think it'll be Scherzer.
All right, Blue Eye. You get one award this year. All right, I'm going with Anthony Rendon. This guy is so another under-the-radar guy. We picked three under-the-radar people. Mm-hmm. One, his team is contending, no question, this year. Hopefully, maybe this is their year to make it past the NLDS. Who knows? I know. Sad. Sad. But Anthony Rendon, the guy has – oh. She's good. She's about to sneeze, folks. About to sneeze. He's
going to cry.
Yeah.
You're going to cry about Anthony Rendon.
Anthony Rendon.
Poor Nationals.
Makes people cry. That's why he's the MVP. He had the National League's ninth most defensive runs saved. That's war, if anyone at home is wondering. Wins above replacement. 5.8. That's beating out Paul Goldschmidt and a couple others right now. He's really humble. He's very low-key. He slays at the hot corner. He doesn't talk about himself, but he's having an incredible line. He's slashing 299, 401, 543 with 22 home runs. He's doing really well, and I think that the best part is that nobody's talking about him, and he continues to just be a really good, consistent player. And he is a key reason that the Nationals are heading into the postseason, in my opinion. And I would love to see a guy like him win this award. He's not flashy. He's not over social media. He's just doing his job and doing it really, really well. So I'm going with Rendon.
I like this pick.
Solid pick.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
too bad. I mean, if could Stan – Willie, could he get to 62, 61?
I mean, I think we did – didn't we all predict it?
We predicted 64.
We all went over 60,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We
all
did.
Of us did.
We went over 60.
Mathematically, yeah. is it still possible? He's at 54 home runs. It's September 17th.
There's what, a week and a half left of the season?
Two a day?
Yeah.
He would have to hit two a day. One or two a day. He'd have to average one
there's
or two.
There's no way.
No way? All right.
There's no way.
Someone go tell him that we said there's no way, and then he'll just do it.
But if he gets it.
Three a day.
If he gets it and the Marlins aren't contenders, is he the MVP? In your eyes. If he gets the record.
I generally don't care about being a team that contends.
Right.
We have forgetting this conversation it, a lot. Right?
Yep.
I think that even if he got to 60, it doesn't diminish the candidacy of the three guys we already talked about.
Okay.
Because I think that the additional value all of these guys have is what we're looking for.
And what if the Marlins did make it to the postseason?
I mean, I'd still be all in on Goldie, probably.
Still Goldie. Okay. All right. I had to ask.
No, that's a good question.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think?
I think that we haven't seen someone come this close to the record in a long time or get 54 home runs in a long time. So I think that that would change my mind. I think accomplishing something like that and also steering your team into the postseason, because obviously that guy would be the biggest reason that they are there when you carry a team on your back. Yeah, you got to give him the MVP award.
If he hit two home runs a game for the next 12 days – yeah, I'd probably be like, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
how could
crazy.
You deny someone who,
that's crazy.
Who accomplishes a feat like that? We
two
don't
runs
see that.
A game for 12 for the next 12 days.
Challenge accepted on behalf of Giancarlo Stanton over here. Okay, let's get to some quick hits. Colin Kaepernick in the conversation every week, as he deserves to be. Everyone's talking about him. We're going to be talking about him because it's a new guy every single week stepping up on his behalf. Tom Brady this time, who said, you know, Colin Kaepernick came to our home. He beat us. He took his team to the Super Bowl, and I hope that he gets a shot. So Tom Brady stepping up on behalf of the biggest name in football. When people think of football, it is Tom Brady. And even he is saying this guy needs to be in the game. And another article came out I just read about the actual play that's going on the field. It's not good. It's bad. Mm-hmm. And what happens when these quarterbacks that we've seen the past 2 weeks who are not good, they're not good. There are good quarterbacks right now and there are bad quarterbacks. And so obviously this isn't about whether or not Colin Kaepernick can play. Because teams would rather see their quarterbacks get sacked and get concussions and lose than sign Colin Kaepernick to a team. Thoughts?
I think it's good that Tom Brady said this because a lot of people care about what Tom Brady has to say. Like a lot of people who might otherwise have some questionable opinions about Colin Kaepernick. Yeah. So good. Great. He should kneel.
Tom Brady?
Yeah. Tom Brady should kneel.
Okay.
He won't, but he should.
Okay.
That's how I feel about that.
Oh, wow.
I mean, when you see these guys who are big names, like we talked about Aaron Rodgers and his like kind of vague commentary on the situation,
which
didn't really say anything that meant anything. Like it's great that Tom Brady is saying Colin Kaepernick needs a place in the game, but Tom Brady is obviously not about to be like, I'm retiring, hire Colin Kaepernick. Like that's not happening.
A little more action.
Yeah. It's just because like, as we've seen from this entire protest, it really does seem that actions do speak much louder than words. And
yeah. Would say
it's,
so.
Yeah, it's great that he's saying that, but ultimately, like, he's not the guy who gets to hire Colin Kaepernick.
True.
And he can say that sort of and have that be on record that he said it. And just like, is anything else going to happen? I don't know.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Ash, what do you think?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think these are good steps, and everything that Brady said was great, and we're moving in the right direction in this whole thing. But yeah. I think, well, like I said earlier with Aaron Rodgers, it's good that we have a white superstar talking about it. So now we have two and the highest level, right. Which is great. We just need more people to actually put their money where their mouth is. If they are, you know, it depends on the situation. Not like Aaron Rodgers is saying we should all be standing up for him because he didn't. But I will say that this Sunday I saw so many players. And, of course, NFL is going to show it.
Yeah.
It's controversial and people like have to know all this stuff that's going on with this. But most of the Niners players were kneeling. A ton of the Seahawks players were kneeling. Like it's really taking effect, which makes me really happy because this is what he wanted. And it's, although he kind of sacrificed himself for it, I think he was willing to. And it's turning out okay.
Exactly.
And now we have more people talking about it. So it still is a success in my eyes.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, but now we have Brady talking about it, so that's a huge thing. We'll see where it goes from here. Every Sunday is going to be some new, shed some new light on the whole situation, so it'll be interesting to see how it goes.
I think people, and I don't think people are forgetting that Colin Kaepernick is the reason you can kneel mm-hmm. and not be worried about your job. If you're performing on the field like you should be and you want to kneel, that's because Colin Kaepernick did that for you. He's the one, like you said, Ash, who had to sacrifice mm-hmm. his future and his career. And now, look, now you have the chance to stand up, to have a voice, to make a difference in the way that you want to and not be afraid to lose your job because of him. So I think that it's time that somebody come back and pay it forward and give this guy a chance and let him show what he can do with the football. That's why we're here, right? He's taking a social stand, and that's amazing. And I give him so many props for that because we always talk about athletes using their platforms in a bigger way, right? We always want to see that, but not at the risk of their career. And he unfortunately is not employed by the NFL right now, but these other guys are taking this stand for him. And hopefully in return, we will see him in a football uniform, you know, maybe by the end of the year.
I mean, like you said before, the quality of play is not good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's becoming increasingly clear that that's what's going on, that the quality of play is not good. And I think that the excuse is just going to get flimsier and flimsier as the season goes on. So I would have to assume that if anybody really wanted to, like, make it seem real, that they were like, oh, it's because he's not good. Someone's going to have to pick him up because it's going to become increasingly clear that that's just not true.
I can't wait for that day. So. I can't wait for the moment that I get 7 alerts on my phone that so-and-so team signed Colin Kaepernick. And I think that it's going to be just a celebration. I'm really excited for that. And I do think it's going to happen. We're just patiently waiting over here. Okay, to hockey, which we haven't had a chance to talk about very much, but now we are approaching the start of the season. The Vegas Golden Knights, by the way, not the Las Vegas Golden Knights. It's the Vegas Golden Knights, which I will probably get tripped up on the rest of the season. Won their first ever exhibition game, which is pretty exciting. The rookie forward, Tyler Wong, scored a hat trick, not too shabby. This team is made up of a lot of young guys, talented guys, but obviously a lot of young guys. They had their exhibition draft, and then they had the NHL draft. So they have a mix of young and old, but mostly really young guys. How do you feel this team will do in their inaugural season? We haven't seen the expansion draft in a while, so it's new and exciting for a lot of people who haven't had a chance to experience it. How do you think they're going to do, Gemma?
I think it's going to be really fun. I don't think that they're necessarily going to come out as like, oh, Stanley Cup contenders.
Yeah.
But I do think that we're going to see a lot of potential because you said the team is mostly young.
Yeah.
I think that they're going to be really dynamic to watch. I think that it's going to be I think that there might be – this is my crazy prediction, is that closer to the end of the season, I think they might have, a hot streak, and people will be like, oh, my God, this could be a sports movie. And it ultimately will not happen,
right.
But I think that just because of their youth and because of their, this is new, we can do anything,
there's
just going to be a lot of fun around that team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope there's no pressure, to be honest.
Yeah,
I think
there shouldn't be.
There shouldn't be. You're everything is new. You have so many firsts that you still have to achieve. So, knock those out and then, show people what you can do.
I actually do hope this is a Leicester-esque storyline and months from now we're like, can you believe that the Golden Knights won the Stanley Cup? How crazy. But that's not going to happen.
Ash, are you excited?
I am excited. I'm excited for the people of Las Vegas to have a team to rally around. Or Vegas, sorry, whatever.
It's still Las Vegas.
I know.
The place is still Las Vegas.
They're trying to be cool. The Vegas Diamondbacks turn to the D-backs.
That's
you know
right.
what I mean? I understand your attempt to sound cooler, so I'm going to honor it and call you Vegas. I am very excited for them to have something to rally behind, see all the new facilities and stuff, watch your new young team. Sure, by the time the Raiders get there, people will fall off and they'll be back into football. But still, for the time being, this is going to be so great, and I'm very excited for them.
Awesome. All right. Marshawn Lynch got his first touchdown as a Raider. He had a nice celebration on the sideline. Ashley, give me your initial thoughts when you first saw this celebration.
I watched this celebration live and loved it because I love Marshawn Lynch and I love that he's in Oakland where he should be, and I love watching him play football because he's still a truck and he's just mowing down fools left and right, and he's so much fun to watch. And I hate that I'm having so much fun watching the Raiders right now, because usually I don't because I don't like them, but I am because Derek Carr's so great too. It's been a lot of fun, so I'm really happy about it.
Did you feel like he took the celebration too far?
No, I think all celebrations should be taken too far, especially in football. So yes. And also, he could care less. He can get kicked out of the league right now and be like, whatever,
it's fine.
I just wanted to do this game because I was bored. So he's going to push the limits left and right, and it's so great. So I'm looking forward to way more crazy, intense celebrations.
Gemma?
Yeah, I agree. Take the celebration as far as you want, especially if you're Marshawn Lynch. I'm pretty sure still to this day that if you were to Google my name, the first thing that would come up would be a story I wrote for Sports on Earth 3 years ago about Marshawn Lynch.
That's amazing.
I love Marshawn Lynch.
G-E-M-M-A.
I have no feelings about pretty much every football player except for Marshawn Lynch, who I find just extremely charming and weird. And I think
that he's good for football.
Yeah, I think that his celebrations should be as out of control as possible.
He's leading the way. Do you think if we had a chart of best touchdown celebrations, he would be at the top?
Of this generation. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I'm ready for him to pull out some new tricks.
What about some vintage tricks? What about taking it
the phone
school?
Out, fake phone, answering a call? Yeah. I would be into that.
Okay. All right. we'll put the word out. That signal's been sent. Cody Bellinger. This kid, he was on fire at the beginning of the season. Now he's hit 38 home runs, not too shabby. Any great thoughts about Cody Bellinger? Did he get lost? Did he get lost in the mix, in the shuffle of the other MVP candidates?
I think it's hard to paint him as an MVP candidate the way people were painting Aaron Judge as an MVP candidate. Because they, even though,
Like, yeah, what's the difference though?
I think that they number? I think it might just be the number and probably the media exposure would be part of it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I still like Cody Bellinger.
Yeah.
Still fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It's also because the Dodgers went on such a sad losing streak.
Yes, they did. Was it sad though? I don't really feel that sad.
Ashley, was it sad?
No.
Oh, it was so sad.
Boo hoo. Felt really bad. Maybe it's a good thing though. Maybe they needed to get it out of their system.
Yeah.
And now they'll be okay. It's oh, you can never tell with those things.
It's true. It's because like in the postseason, it doesn't really matter. Your regular season, it's you start again at zero, right?
Yeah.
Your regular season record is what it was.
It's all wiped away. Everyone's eating.
Start over. Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Gemma, you're going to take this Ohtani update.
Okay.
Because
yes.
There's a player that many people need to know his name and how it's spelled.
Let's spell it. Shohei Ohtani,
S-H-O-H-E-I.
Yes. Ohtani. So the Ohtani, like everyone spells it differently. Some people spell it O-H-T-N-A-I. Some people spell it without the H at the beginning. Shohei Ohtani. Google it either way.
Okay.
You'll find it. So he plays in the NPB. What is astonishing about him, other than his extreme youth, is that he is both an elite pitcher and an elite hitter, which is basically
Babe
the stuff of fiction at this point. Like,
Tall
you don't
tales.
Really see this. But that's what he does. Like, he plays, he hits home runs all the time. You can go watch his home run compilations on YouTube, which I do with frequency. And also, you can watch him throw incredible pitches that are just, like, it's mind-blowing. So,
cool.
He's really great. And everyone's been wanting him to come to MLB since he was basically 19 years old. MPB does not want him to come here because he's obviously a huge star for them. So, it's been some time. But it really does seem like he's going to come here next year.
Yeah.
And so the situation is that if he waited a couple of years, he could come as a free agent and would probably make a lot more
Way
money to do
more
that.
Money.
Like a lot
more
money. Because his value is extremely high.
Yes.
As it is, he's probably going to come next year and accept much less because of the international signing fee that teams can pay him.
Right.
Buster only wrote an article about this, and he notes like which teams will be able to pay him the most. So you can go see
Yankees
that there.
Yankees and Rangers, I think, were at the top of that list.
Yes.
No surprise,
no
really, with the Yankees.
But then the question that everyone has is like, what does he want? Like, what does he want to do?
Yeah.
People always attribute feelings and motivations to him because he's a pretty, like, chill guy. He doesn't really express a lot of his motivations to the media. So it's like, would he rather play for a team where he can hit and pitch?
Right.
Like, does he want to play on an NL team where he gets a handful of at-bats? Does he want to play for an AL team where he could DH on some days? Like, what does he want, actually? And, like, what is it worth to him to take maybe a pay cut to play for an AL team?
Right.
Would he need to have, like, friends that he knows on the team? There's been some conversation about how he talked to Munenori Kawasaki about how much fun he had playing for the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
And how, like, the Blue Jays are like, we would let him DH, so if he wants to
so
come
win,
here,
win.
That's the thing. And they're like, would he play for a team that, like, Ichiro is on because he likes Ichiro? Like, what is going to happen there?
Yeah.
You know, so teams with Japanese players that he might know already, like Yu Darvish, like, that could be something, too.
Ash, do you feel like this opens the door for more two-way players? Or is
I mean,
this
absolutely.
You do? Okay.
If we can get someone who's a two-way player at such a level, then yes. I mean, maybe it will encourage people to, gosh, I don't know. It's so hard to say because this is like a really like a once-in-a-lifetime talent. And if he's able to come to Major League Baseball and perform in the same at the same level, then my God, like, that's such a rare bird. I think it'd be such a crime to have him DH in the AL, though. I don't like that at all. That's too much playing time, I feel like.
That's too
Maybe.
Much playing time?
Wait, what?
You don't want to like, see him have as many at-bats
no.
as possible?
I'm worried about fatigue.
Oh.
Because I do want him to have as many at-bats as possible, but I'm worried about pitching too much or pitching every 5 days and then also playing
Between
every other day.
That. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well,
so what
DH
is that?
Every
Harms
day?
Him? I don't know.
I feel like probably not.
No.
Well, it would obviously depend on who's pitching. Right.
Yeah.
Matchups.
Exactly.
How he's
feeling. He would DH some days.
But he would have more opportunities. Yeah. He would have more opportunities.
Yeah.
To play both ways.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Whereas,
I think he should start in the NL just to feel out his levels and stuff like that in Major League Baseball and see if he can possibly play in the AL, DH a couple days, and then pitch an entire every 5 days.
Could you even – I can't even fathom.
To me, it's like, though, we have Mad Bum, right? So we do know that there's a guy who is of value as a pitcher at bat, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, that's cool. Yeah. I want to take it a step further than that, than something we already know is possible. Well, my question is, like, do you think we don't have more two-way players because there's – because, like, we just don't in American baseball, we're like, okay, this is what you are, specialize, you're done pitching.
Or yeah, like, you know, because the competition level is so high. So again, that is like the other conversation is playing other sports, not just baseball, right? Mm-hmm. We have that conversation a lot. But also, okay, you're just going to play this position and you're just going to bat here because you need to be the best at this. And mm-hmm. if you spread yourself too thin, you won't be able to be the best at that one thing. You'll be, mm-hmm. you know, 70-30 or whatever it may be.
Right.
Yeah, I definitely think that's a thing. But to be honest, the more you do, the more you experience, the more you fail, the more you figure things out, the better you will be in turn. Mm-hmm. If you are a good enough player, if you're mentally strong enough for that, then I think that you could handle it. But I don't think a lot of people are. So that's probably the other half of it, too.
Oh.
Yeah. That's tough. I mean, if you are struggling, let's say like someone wants to have you be a switch hitter. Well, if you're hitting from the left side of the plate, is not as great as the right side, but they still want to push you because that, you know, that matchup that you may be in, or you're going to come in and DH or whatever it may be, or pinch hit. But that's tough when you know you're not as good on the other side, but the people or the team, they want you to do it. So you have to be mentally strong to be like, okay, it's fine. I'm not doing exactly what I want to be doing, but the team is happy with that. Mm-hmm. That's really hard.
That is really hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right, Mr. Ohtani, we'll see you soon. Okay. Fill in the blank. Every week, same place, not the same time. It is the same time, actually. We're always here. We're going to play fill in
roughly
the blank.
The same time. Yeah.
Mostly the same time. I think blank about the Indians' win streak ending at 22. Ashley.
I think it's good that it ended at 22 because same with the Dodgers. You don't want to go in too hot, especially on like such a historically hot streak. That's really bad for you in the postseason, I feel like, because it's just you're working your butt off every single game, playing at such a high level every single game when that's not necessarily not necessary until you get to the postseason. So you get burned out. I think it's good that they stopped at 22. Maybe 23 would have been great, but 22
is just fine. Did you predict 22?
I did predict 22.
Yay!
Shout out to you.
I didn't
want
to say this, but
shout out to you.
Say 22.
Yeah, great.
So I cursed them and I made sure they didn't get 23.
That is some California voodoo if I've ever heard it. Mm-hmm. Gemma, what do you think about the Indians win streak ending at 22?
I think I'm sad about it ending at 22 because I didn't want them to beat the A's win streak. I didn't. But once they did, I was like, I mean, if you're going to beat it, you might as well
go all the way.
Beat the 26 game win streak too. The 26 game win streak.
Yeah.
So just put that to bed. Just beat it. And then I'm sad that they didn't.
I felt unprepared to see the win streak end at 22. I wanted more. I wasn't quite ready yet. But, you know, it's not about me. the world will continue to rotate. Okay. Tigers pitcher, Mr. Boyd, losing his no-hitter with two outs in the ninth is blank, Gemma.
Demoralizing and soul-crushing.
Ashley.
I mean, I agree. But just to take another viewpoint, I'm sad that this happened. I did not want this to happen at all. But this is what makes no-hitters so scary, because this is possible and it happens quite often. So it adds to the victory and the fear going into the bottom of the ninth when you have a no-hitter going or a perfect game or anything at all. It's just, God, it makes me cringe. It hurts.
Mine is Tigers pitcher losing no-hitter with two outs in the ninth is worthy of stuffing your face with any food that you want for the next day and a half.
Thanks, Danny.
Yes. Whatever you want, you do, because that is gut-wrenching to see. But to your point, Ashley, totally true. It's what makes it so special and rare.
Scary.
All right. What else we have? David Price. David Price. Welcome back, David Price. Heyo. Join the Red Sox bullpen. David Price joining the Red Sox bullpen in September gives me blank feels. This was written by Rena. I did not change this because I wanted this to be as authentic as possible. Rena, our producer, Red Sox extraordinaire. How does it make you feel? What feels does it give you?
Anxious feels.
About David Price returning to the... Okay.
I really like David Price. However...
Obviously. Tiger, yeah.
Yes. I like almost all former Tigers.
He's on the list.
That's for later.
Short list?
For another time.
That's all I was curious about.
I just wanted to qualify in case I needed to for the future. But I like David Price. I think that he's had a really, really tough go of it in Boston. And I feel like his margin for error is so small that if he is even like okay, it's going to be like, this is the worst contract we've ever signed.
Yeah.
You know?
He doesn't live up to
because he's performed so much below expectations for him. So it makes me really anxious for him and for his place in Boston, the organization. Though I do not wish anyone in the Boston – I do not specifically wish for anyone named David Price in the Red Sox bullpen to give up some kind of game-tying grand slam in a postseason situation. It would be karma for that organization.
Now the 2-2. Well hit, Donald.